Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Tuesday, the 12th of May. Very nice to have you with us for today's proceedings. Let me introduce the panel to you, and then I'll let you know how you can get in on the fun, and then we'll actually have the fun. How does that sound for an agenda for this morning? First, we'll begin with our panel, and we're getting our mics set up, and we're in good shape. WAMC's Alan Shartok is in the house. Good morning, Alan.
Yo, Joe.
Yeah, good morning. Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain is with us most, if not every Tuesday, and whatever other day we can, get him in here. But it's Tuesday, so he's here today, and we thank him very much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you. And Rosemary Armeo, I know we welcomed her back yesterday, and she actually came back today, so that's good. We didn't scare her off again. SUNY Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. We have a lot to talk about, and so let us begin. I guess we'll begin with Dean Skelos, because this is a story we've been talking a lot about, and yesterday it was all made official. I have to say, I was just listening to Ray's newscast and Karen DeWitt's report, and his reason for leaving was that his grandson cut his lip. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
That was the final straw. I mean, it was his support was deteriorating among his Republican colleagues.
So it had little to do with the arrest. It was actually the bloodshed from his grandchild.
Apparently his grandchild was in the yard, and a photographer from an unnamed news organization came to the yard and startled the young child, and he ran and fell and cut his lip. That's the way it sounds. And that was like the last straw, when it was regarded as sort of a personal, it was personally upsetting his family, and that was the last straw.
I would just make one little correction there. It wasn't the last straw. It's what he said was the last
straw.
That's
right.
Yes, that's an important distinction.
And he said, well, maybe, perhaps, I'm a distraction.
It did seem that he was in. He went for a week. It seemed like he was in denial that this was inevitable. It was almost precisely the same scenario in January when Sheldon Silver, his counterpart in the state assembly, was at first trying to hold on to his leadership position, and gradually his position, his support eroded among his colleagues. But in this particular case, it could be that he helped pick his successor. I don't think Sheldon Silver picked Carl Hastie as his successor, had much role in that.
We don't know, Mike.
But we don't know. You're right, Alan. We don't know.
We don't know that. But Michael asks the crucial question that goes right to your point. He writes, is the man now Senate Majority Leader the same man that Skelos demanded be the one to replace him, or he wouldn't resign? If so, says Michael, that's not right. I say, yes, Michael, just for whatever you want to know, that is the same man. Flanagan was his nominee for this. This is what he wanted.
He got what he wanted. He stepped aside. There was some speculation that if he didn't get his way, he would quit the Senate altogether, and that would give the Republicans would lose their slim majority that one person would make a difference on. It does hurt that, you would think the guy being ousted because he's under a federal, investigation for corruption would be the one who picks his successor. And we don't actually know. But
and then the successor gets up on the floor and offers a pay-in to Skelos and how good he is. Even Silver and Hastie didn't have that chutzpah.
Well, they're both state senators from Long Island, and the Long Island Republicans who have enormous, support of each other in the state Senate, and it's helped them keep the flow of state aid to Long Island. And it was a little bit of an upstate, downstate thing, because John DeFrancesco, the Syracuse area senator, was also in contention for the leadership, and he ended up bowing out, and he ended up paying tribute to Senator Flanagan as he took over. And time will tell whether this is going to be a problem. Right away, he was just being gracious and praising Skelos. He praised others. He was he made a point to mention upstate New York, and he had visited many areas upstate New York and loved the whole state, and he wanted to be the leader of the whole state, and he said, let's get down to business.
Well, pretty predictable stuff, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the right thing to say. So praising Skilos was not a... I don't think it's problematic. And what comes now will define whether or not he's independent or whether he's kowtowing to Skilos.
We have a letter from former Senator Terry Gibson.
Yes.
Who says, here's what really happened in Albany yesterday.
Oh, good. Oh, the real story.
The Real Estate Board of New York City and the Charter School Political Action Committee chose the new majority leader for our state Senate. What's really unfair is that all the Republican senators stood by and let it happen. They simply replaced their arrested Long Island leader with another Long Island leader that has continually opposed sweeping campaign finance reform. Their inaction has preserved the status quo, and it's a sad day from New York, and that's from Terry Gibson.
So the question I have, and is this being too cynical, and yet, so how long before this guy gets indicted?
Well, there's a couple of interesting things here.
I'm not getting a word in edgewise. It's actually kind of okay because one of my major observations is completely shallow, which is Flanagan is the best looking leader we've ever had in the Senate. That's kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
On the other hand,
perhaps
I know, it's very shallow. I'm ashamed of having the thought, but it's there. And
yes.
The other thing is, all this stuff about Albany culture, and it's inevitable the next guy will go. I heard this yesterday, and it makes so much sense to me. The real problem is not the state legislature. It's New York City politics. Campaign reform, is that going to really touch how candidates are selected and advanced? New York City area. Because this
Metro.
Is Long Island, the
no,
Metro
no, no,
New
no,
York
no,
area.
No, but there is campaign finance in New York City.
Sure.
So, but here, listen to this. You're right, except that the first thing he did was to quit his law practice, this guy Flanagan, on which he was reporting somewhere around $150,000 a year. And I do know that Flanagan and others were called in to the U.S. Attorney's Office when they were discussing the way in which the then leader Skilos was using his power on Long Island, and whether or not he was trying to get his son, stuff. Now we know that. Right. And when they asked him specifically, are you in trouble? Will you be in trouble? He said, as in his response, it shouldn't be a problem. That's not no.
I just want to mention this. We just got a note from a press release from the governor's office about his partner, Sandy.
Yeah.
Sandra Lee. A few weeks ago, we received terrible news that Sandy shared with me that she was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh, God.
I was devastated after the news. What followed was a blizzard of doctor's visits, tests, and discussions of treatment possibilities, options. Sandy is young for her diagnosis. She has no family history. She is healthy and had no symptoms or signals that she was in danger. She has been diligent about going for checkups, and thankfully this was detected in the early stages. A situation like this puts life in the proper perspective and reminds one of what's truly important. To that end, I expect to take some personal time because I want to be with Sandy to support her in any way I can as she handles the trauma of her operation and the pain of her recovery. So there is more to the statement, but we'll obviously be covering that throughout the day and morning. So that comes to us as well.
Look, a lot of people go through this, and all our thoughts, I'm sure, are with
the governor and his family. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit more about this and some other stuff as well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from Sunwood Builders Amherst, over 20 years of green and custom home building, offering home remodeling services and energy retrofits, working to save energy while maintaining design features. Sunwood-builders.com. The Wild Center, offering member previews of Wild Walk, 1,000 feet of elevated bridges and experiences in the Adirondack treetops. Wildcenter.org for details. And Rockefeller College of Public Affairs and Policy on New Albany's downtown campus, offering full, part-time, and evening studies in public administration and policy. albany.edu/Rockefeller.
Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We have been talking about Dean Skelos as well as the new Senate Majority Leader. And Mike, let me go to you. You have some interesting stories about Mr. Flanagan and Speaker or Majority Leader Flanagan, right?
Right, the Senate Leader.
The Senate Leader Flanagan and winning his dad's seat.
Yeah, the history of Senator Flanagan and how he got where he is today is in a story by Chris Bragg and Matthew Hamilton in the Times Union today. He took over for his late father, Assemblyman John J. Flanagan.
He was jogging.
Right, at the age of 50 in 1986, Assemblyman Flanagan died of a heart attack. His son, who was just finishing law school, the new Senator Flanagan, Senate Majority Leader Flanagan, was just finishing law school. He got up and spoke at his father's service and impressed a lot of people. He ended up running in a special election, being elected to the Assembly. He was there until about 2003, and then he ran for state Senate and was elected and part of the Long Island senators who have wielded great power in the and influence in the state Senate. As Alan mentioned a few minutes ago, he did resign from his law firm, a Long Island law firm where he was a partner last week. Exactly why he did that, I don't know if it was to clear the way and remove any conflicts as he goes in to seek this leadership position. I'm not sure.
Let me respond to that.
Sure.
One of the parts of the stench that's emerging from all of this is that, as I understand it, he can't take a deal where a matter, as they say in law, with anybody who is directly asking for something from the state. But his partners can, and he's not entitled to any percentage of that, which if you believe that, I'm going to tell you another one, because there's always ways in which people get, you know, money through law firms. The problem, of course, is that we now know that people are getting money, legislators, law firms are getting money, and people go to those law firms, wink, wink, nod, nod, knowing that the senator is sitting in that law firm, even though he is personally not going to handle their matter for him. Therefore, that's why you get rid of the stench by quitting right now.
So that was a proper and admirable step to take as he takes over this leadership position. Is that correct?
Yes.
You both are way too nice. It is not a proper and admirable thing to do anything.
It's the only right thing to do.
No, it's the thing to do to stay out of, you know, trouble and not have everybody yelling at you and saying, look, you know, this guy's doing just what the other guy did, Dean Skelos did.
Well, as he takes over, he's certainly a seasoned, I mean, he's basically been in the state legislature since he graduated from law school, and here he is taking over his leadership of the Senate, and he's fairly young. I believe he's 52.
And he's good-looking. Did I mention that?
And everybody says
Rosemary
he's, everybody
says
he's
but
he, nice.
But he's a handsome, fairly young leader in the state
it's
Senate.
Not a bad thing.
Rosemary, I want a free pass. For anything that might
imply sexism,
I want a free pass.
I'll give
out of jail
Flanagan,
free card.
Flanagan
out
pass.
Of jail.
Yeah.
It raises the question if he's a you know, career state legislator, and he's coming into this important position. Does he have a future, perhaps, in statewide office? You know, I think he's somebody to watch.
Or as Pete Berard,
somebody won't mind watching him.
Or as Pete Berard said, stay tuned.
Well, stay tuned. We'll see.
We didn't know if he meant on that station.
could be a different station. We have 2 minutes, and let's just real quick go into this about a really interesting story about the New York ad campaign.
Oh, yes. It's
Rick Carlin did a really neat job.
State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli released a really interesting audit yesterday, which looked at the Empire State Development Corp's ad campaign promoting New York State. It was supposed to be a $50 million ad campaign, and they hired a giant law advertising firm to run it, and it was supposed to promote tourism and bring jobs to New York, and it ended up costing $211 million. The comptroller criticized it.
Heavily criticized.
It was a scathing audit.
Which is amazing firm. From very quiet Tom DiNapoli, who I have to say here is my friend. But it's amazing because he has not, he has eschewed getting into these kinds of battles if he can avoid them.
If you're anywhere near a television set in the last year, you would have seen one of these Startup New York tax break program advertisements. And what the comptroller is complaining about is that there's really no tangible evidence that it generated any jobs or it really did attract new business to New York. And he said that when you have this kind of a massive ad campaign, you really need to be focused. You have to have tests to see if it's working before you just throw more money at it. And he's, it speaks for itself. It was $211 million in taxpayer money that the comptroller says produced really nothing.
With that, we'll take a break, and we'll come back and talk about a whole bunch of other stuff. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel for this Tuesday, the 12th of May. Very nice to have you with us. Let me reintroduce the panel, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain. Make up the group. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. Let me move on. We will move on and talk about some other stuff, and we'll get to your letters in just a moment. I have to bring up the Tom Brady suspension. We've been talking a lot about this over the past several months, and yesterday the NFL made it official. New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, a golden boy of American sports and perhaps pro football's biggest star, was suspended Monday for 4 regular season games without pay by the NFL, which said that he had deliberately and secretly violated league rules. The NFL also fined the Patriots $1 million and took away 2 prized future draft picks, including a first-round choice in 2016, saying that the team and Brady schemed to improperly deflate footballs in the AFC Championship game last season on the way to securing New England's 4th Super Bowl victory.
Obviously, our theme today is good-looking men.
Obviously, that is our theme.
I'm glad he got it. A little bit of rain falls on his perfect life. I think he's been incredibly a bad sportsman. My favorite part is that he refuses to turn over email under incredibly favorable conditions, refuses to cooperate in much with the investigation. And now when it goes against him, he's saying, oh, it was terrible. They don't have any evidence. Good. I'm glad he got it.
Well, you know, no, Rosemary, I'm sorry, but that is a know-nothing attitude. In other words,
because you know much more about football than I do, so I'm eager to hear this, Alan.
I don't know anything. I can just say you're saying
now this
good,
is a show.
Good, he's handsome, so we, you know, good is his perfect life, and therefore a little
supermodel
rain
wife,
a little
charming
rain.
Children.
It just sounds
multi-million
like
dollars.
It sounds a
this is a man who could have afforded to play by the rules.
It sounds a little
okay.
Catish. Yes, that's right, Joe.
All
okay.
Right,
okay.
There it is. So here is my issue. Now again, I said this last week. I'll say it again. I am a Patriots fan. Okay.
Me too.
With that said, I also said I was greatly concerned and upset by this, and the fact that he was guilty did not really surprise me after seeing his press conference.
Nobody ever found him guilty.
He was.
That's the point. All right. Two issues. Number, you don't get fined in the NFL for being arrogant. If that were the case, nobody would play the game.
He got fined for deflating balls.
No, he did not. It was never proven. They never used the word he did. They said
probably
and most likely. Okay. By the way, let us not forget, Ray Rice got a 2-game suspension for beating the stuffing out of his wife in an elevator.
And that was on video.
He got 4-game suspension for allegedly having knowledge of this practice.
These two things cannot be compared.
We
know full because we know full well that Ray Rice was underpunished, and there's been a change, and this is a new crackdown, and it's good. And the next time there's a Ray Rice, you're going to get a whole lot more than what you had before. So that it's before the change and after the change.
There's a big difference. One was probably, and the other one was on videotape doing it. Now, I'm sorry, if Goodell, who is under tremendous fire, that's the name, Goodell, right?
Yep.
Is under tremendous fire here, is trying to make up, you know, by stepping on our Brady's shoulders in order to protect himself. Well, look, there are an awful lot of people who hate the Patriots because they win, and they win legitimately. They won when the ball was inflated. They won when the ball wasn't inflated. And so that's right. There was one major thing in which game, wasn't it, Joe?
Yeah, it was the championship game. I mean, I actually believe a better punishment would have been to redo that championship game. That would have been fine.
You can't, because then you would have had different players in the Super Bowl.
They also lost by 45 points,
so you guys, you can't play over a game in which there's been cheating. We know that. Who did it is what you say.
But you haven't proven cheating.
Now we can't punish after the fact, so we just let the boys do whatever they want.
No, you don't. I have nothing wrong with the team being fined. I have nothing wrong even with the draft picks. I do think, and I don't even have...
I do. I disagree with you.
Okay. I do. Well, look, I agree with Rosemary that I think because this is made, although I believe the NFL has botched this from the very beginning. I can't believe that this has been, you know, taken to this level. We are now in May, so 5 months after this occurred,
we're going back and revisiting
it again and again and again. I do wish that Brady had been much more forthcoming. I do wish that I also wanted to take issue with your statement that he did not cooperate with the investigation. I think both the team and Tom Brady cooperated with the investigation. He refused to turn over his cell phone. Quite frankly, I don't blame him. I would not have turned over my cell phone.
It was
either.
Emails, and his lawyer was going to get to pick what would go to the judge. It was pretty favorable.
Anyway, Wayne checked in on the mail, and he said Brady was caught doing what they've been doing for years. Time to let quarterbacks make their balls whatever they want for a level playing field, as long as it's not extreme to have refs control all balls. One game suspension is best punishment, and he's still the best quarterback ever.
Well, he did appeal this ruling,
and it's
anticipated that they'll probably
lower
the penalty to the Ray Rice level of two suspensions. But one of the problems here is that this is not a court of law. The finding that he was likely aware that the balls were being deflated and that he was a participant in it, that finding was administrative.
Right.
And whenever you have a non-court come to a conclusion, people are going to tear it apart and say it didn't follow the rules of evidence, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I should point out, too, that if I had sued you in a public civil court, you could be compelled to give me your emails or show your emails to a third party.
Wait just a second, Michael. Are you what team do you root for?
Right. I
asked the question. What team do you root for? Because this gets to the bottom of what we're dealing with here. We just heard from Scott. Dear Roundtable friends, don't be tricked by the media's use of the word probably. The Wells report uses a specific legal standard of proof that is dictated by the NFL's policy on integrity and is more stringent than many civil courts. Section 4 of the NFL policy provides that the standard of proof required to find that a violation of the competitive rules has occurred shall be a preponderance in big, you know, bold letters, preponderance of the evidence, as the policy makes clear. That means that as a whole, the facts sought to be proved is more probable than not. That is nonsense. That is nonsense. I'm very offended by that. That's probably another giant
thing. If this had gone
fan.
To a civil court and it came to this ruling, you'd probably be disagreeing with that finding also. Am I wrong?
No, you're wrong.
Why
of course
not be definitive
wrong.
In the report?
Because it's impossible to be definitive if you don't have somebody admitting it. You don't
I think
have
you're
it
a Giants
tape.
Fan.
No, not at all.
I don't think even being definitive, saying our group has concluded
when
in
you
our
use
evidence
terms of preponderance of evidence. There's
let's say probably there, more than likely. We
if there
think,
was a jury, if there was a jury that came, you know, came and found unanimously that they agreed with the, you know, the outcome of a case, then it would be human beings that came to that conclusion.
This ain't right. This
well,
just is not right.
All I'm saying is anytime you do something in a sort of private investigation, you know, when Joe Paterno died, he had the former FBI director's, his family had the former FBI director look at all the evidence against him, and he came out with a ruling that said there's no real proof here that Joe Paterno was aware of the sexual abuse going on.
Who hired Ted Wells?
NFL.
The NFL. There's an old saying in consultants, when you hire a consultant, the person whose name is on the check, who signs the check, often has their way.
But this is exactly what happened with Paterno. Everybody who looks at the evidence that Louis Freeh came up with and looked at the report said it doesn't matter. He was paid by the family, therefore he doesn't.
It's very convenient.
No. It's very common for civil matters to be resolved by hiring somebody to come in and have free reign. And even though they may have free reign and everybody cooperates, there's going to be people who say, well, who is paying the bill?
I don't know. Here's what Corey says. The whole deflate gate is a witch hunt. The NFL needs to make itself feel better for allowing rapists, murderers, and wife beaters off the hook. They talk about integrity of the game when they have shown zero integrity in handling some of those disgusting acts of its players. This is a safe move, and I believe a self-serving move for them.
I do agree there. I think this is an overreaction after they're severely.
I love the look Rosemary is giving.
This is just so convenient, as they did a really bad job handling Ray Rice and other beat up cases.
Yeah.
Okay, so the way we fix that is we don't pay attention to this breaking of the rules. I think the referees should have been able to handle this. You know, throw them out or give them some kind of penalty for breaking the rules.
Well, that's a good question. Why didn't they? Is that not the NFL's fault? For intervening at that point.
I think the NFL should be suspended. Let's find them.
Raymond from Del Mar writes.
Free tickets.
Raymond from Del Mar writes.
Alan, Giants fan, but nothing against the Patriots. Why hate a team that you defeat constantly? Or consistently.
Well, that's true. That is true. Very true. here's another thing that I find interesting. It means absolutely nothing. It's also a sweeping statement. However, when you look at the quarterbacks and the major players of the game who took to Twitter and other social media yesterday, most were in support of Tom Brady and against the NFL.
Saturday Night Live made a big joke about this. Like, oh, he's perfect. He's still the most perfect. You know what offends me is that no one has just said, you know, we're sorry. This was a bad thing. We won't do it again.
I agree with you.
Well, all I know is what Ted said. I love listening to WAMC Sports Talk Radio. Lots of emotion.
Coming up next, the NBA playoffs.
These are important moral issues we're discussing. Sportsmanship, crime and punishment.
Yep.
This is not
all there.
Big money.
Really,
big money. Crime.
Big money, yes,
crime.
Indeed.
Crime. Crime. Yeah. Crime. Is this a crime?
It's a violation of the rules, and you were talking about wife beating. That is a crime,
that
Joe.
Is a crime.
Yes, indeed.
It is a crime, and again, you go back. Okay.
But selling tickets to something and portraying it as being fair and even-handed and even-matched is somewhat of a fraud.
Yeah. Okay, can I ask a question? Because Alan has been saying this all morning, and I think we're not looking at it for on its face value. But don't you think it's very, very hard in a sports culture to, and I'm guilty of this, to differentiate between your thoughts of the team and what actually happened?
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with that.
You're admitting your enormous bias in this.
Well, we just had some guy write, Jeffrey writes, this isn't the first time the Pats were caught cheating.
Let's not
forget them illegally taping practices of opposing teams. Also, it's not only the quarterback that benefits from deflated balls. Running backs are much less likely to fumble a deflated ball. The Pats RB Blunt had an issue with fumbling just prior to coming to the Pats. So this is the anti-Pat stuff. Now, here comes the best sentence in his list. You ready?
I'm ready.
A bitter, it's signed, a bitter bottom-dwelling Raiders fan.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's the thing. I think it's really hard. Now, I have to say, though, when I was watching what was going on in New Orleans and their what was that? What gate was that called? I forget now.
The NFL, involving the NFL?
Or? Yes. With Sean Payton, and they were doing the calls, and okay.
Well, look, the letters just keep here. Coming and coming.
All
and
right,
coming.
Well, go ahead.
Okay, so W said Nixon lied about his knowledge of Watergate. Brady lied about his knowledge of Deflategate. Bill M, a Jets fan with a happy face next to it, and then Margaret wrote, Rosemary is absolutely right.
I like that.
Joe and Alan are blinded by their team loyalty. Cheating is cheating. Why does he get to amend rules to suit his game? He may be cute, Brady, but it doesn't excuse his behavior. And that's Maggie.
Lovely letter. Maggie, go!
And Alice says, I find it interesting listening to the intensity of emotion evidenced this morning over the Patriots, a sports team. When I've often heard these 2 years, this passionate discussion over issues that should evoke outrage.
And okay, give us one. We'll evoke outrage over whatever issue you want.
And Joseph says, as a Patriots fan, I agree. I am disconcerted over the apparent schism between Obama and Warren on the trade deal. Has the president sold out to big business and big oil?
Good letter.
I refer, of course, to the Pacific trade deal and Shell oil drilling in the Arctic. What say you, Professor? I say bad.
Yeah, bad.
I think it's bad.
I that trade deal, I mean, I really do think it should go through. But why is it secret? Why can't we just know?
Then I had a letter this morning from somebody castigating me saying, hey, you don't understand. Bush said it was okay to do this, and that's why it happened. And
what,
that's
the
why
trade pact?
Yeah, no, the
drilling.
And that's why it happened. And I went right back to my definitive New York Times article. I read it. I didn't see anything about Bush.
This is Obama trying to balance his pro-environment stuff. He wants a balanced policy, so I'll give you energy, but I want solar energy and, you know,
this
nuclear.
This probably is a backroom deal to keep the pipeline
being
built.
I think
Well, it could be. It could be, but on the other hand...
He's also plainly banking on economics. That means that drilling's not going to begin right away. They have a long permitting process to go through, even with federal approval. And right now, you don't need Arctic oil. It's oil, we got lots of it.
That's very
right
expensive
now.
Oil. You're not going to need it. And by the time they're able to draw
there's no
that,
infrastructure
well, let's
there.
Try to remember, this is a president, and a president I voted for, and I would vote for again if I had the chance.
He doesn't make all the right calls.
But he is no, he doesn't. And he and on the on things like fracking, which he is for.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, and will that be in the trade pact? We don't know, for example, because it's secret.
So in other words, I think his oil policy is almost as bad as his banking policy because, you know, those banks were basically let off the hook in the time.
Wow.
All right. We
went from Brady to Obama.
I know. And now we're starting
the good-looking theme continues.
And now we're starting to get the letters about, you know, there's people dying in the world, so stop talking about football. So we'll stop for the moment, and we will take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about people dying. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from Barnstars Antiques at Rhinebeck, a Memorial Day tradition presenting over 120 exhibitors of furniture, jewelry, fine art, garden decorations, appraisals, and more. May 23rd and 24th, barnstar.com. Edward Garbasek, certified financial planner serving all of Western Massachusetts, providing customized financial retirement strategies for those approaching or in retirement. Ed at HavikanWealthStrategies.com. And Kent Hicks Construction, West Chesterfield, Massachusetts, specializing in energy-efficient, net-zero, passive house home building, deep energy retrofits, and historical restorations. Serving Western Massachusetts, KentHicksConstruction.com.
All right, we have a lot of letters.
Good grief.
Now, you can yell at us, you can tell us that we move on, but I'm just telling you from the mail, we have more on this than we do about Skelos. Just a little point.
Ray from Del Mar, who happens to be Ray Graff, just wrote us again.
Yes.
I'm gonna read a second letter. It says, more sports. Oh, it says not for air. We had a high traffic alert for the month during your football discussion. In other words, more people were online listening than at any other time.
Maybe that's how you should raise funds. You know?
Ken says, good morning, panel. Why are you wasting valuable airtime on such frivolous non-events as Deflategate? I listen to public radio for the real news, not the drivel about overpaid jocks and how they handle their playthings. Let's get on with reality. And then Ronald says, the referees handle the ball every down. Where were they?
Yeah, didn't I say that? I agree. Yeah.
Okay, and And Charles says, it's shameful that this Deflategate kerfuffle gets headlines. Get a life and give me a break from Charles. And Saul says, did Rosemary just come back from the Middle East? Perhaps it's time to find out what she was doing there. We talked about that yesterday. Mike, tell them what to do.
Well, they should go to the WAMC app and just stream yesterday's roundtable discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I do want to say that in Pakistan, we're teaching journalists who are under threat of death and extremism to do investigative reporting. And one of the stories they came up with that needed to be done was why cricket in Pakistan has gone downhill and the role of corruption. I'm sorry, sports is I'm not a sports fan, but it is intimately connected
part
with
of
life.
Culture.
It's part of the culture, and we need to talk about
it. It's the opiate of the proletariat. Okay, Ken says, it's just football. Move on to things that really matter, says Ken. And Jeff says, Alan, you don't even like football. You'd have it banned if it were up to you. Well, you found me out.
Outed.
And Don Steiner says, I wish the NFL was concerned about brain trauma to the same degree that they appear to be about football pressure.
Ooh, good
me
letter.
Too.
Yes.
And Brendan says, I can't help but wonder if the timing on this decision was designed to keep the NFL in the headlines in the offseason. If the most intelligent radio show I know is discussing this, it seems the NFL did a pretty good PR job.
Oh, read that part about most intelligent radio show again.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, if the most intelligent radio show I know. Look, it's endemic to, look, Ray just wrote us, he said, more people have been involved in this than at any other time. This is where we live, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Let us relax ourselves. Let us relax our back, you know, backsides.
Our hindquarters?
Our hindquarters.
Let's talk about Nepal. Or
okay, yeah. And another...
The Arctic drilling. Or...
Okay, we can do that.
That's pretty much it.
Okay, good. Let's go. We have just Megan's going to come in and give us an update on the lockbox, so I want to get to that as well. So we'll go to our last topic for the morning. And yes, we did find out this morning, woke to news about another earthquake in Nepal, which is obviously quite troubling and disturbing. And we'll find out more about that. I think details are emerging.
It's a very big one again, though.
7.7.
Here's the one thing. Here's the one thing I do want to talk about, though, because we mentioned it yesterday, and that was the White House did come out over the Bin Laden story and about the concerns over Seymour Hirsch's reporting, and we're
very good looking guy, Seymour Hirsch, by the way.
I don't think so. And I know him.
All right.
You were waiting for that, weren't you?
Yeah,
you were waiting for that.
Nicely played, Mike. Not only really dismissed it, but sort of just like...
They scorned and ridiculed it. And
yeah.
I don't know now what to believe. The story is 10,000 words long. It's really difficult to get through. It appears to be based only on one unnamed source.
Yeah, he's really catching it,
and
by the way.
Yet, really he is catching it.
Let me
yet,
just ask, if leadership in Pakistan was aware and cooperating with the U.S., capture and killing of Osama bin Laden, it would be in the U.S.'s interest to deny that
of
happened.
Course.
And that... You know, that's where we sort of leave it. We don't
know. Well, here's the whole thing with Seymour Hersh, who did My Lai and Abu Ghraib. He has written stories that put the U.S. government in positions that don't make any sense, we think. And yet those stories prove true. I am not ready to dismiss it.
I'm not dismissing it.
Yeah, not at all. And I keep thinking of Gary Webb, who came out with this story. Do you remember that? Dark Alliances, saying the CIA was behind a crack explosion in the United States because they were using it to finance covert operations. He was ridiculed by the government. Other reporters attacked him. He was driven to suicide over this.
Oh boy.
And yet it was all true. It's all true. And I just can't get that out of my head when I hear Seymour Hersh defending the story.
Yeah,
but he is an arrogant and really
prickly
man. He's hard to sympathize
hard
with.
Well, he needs to be. He needs to be to defend himself because they attack him. I mean, when the CIA says something is utter nonsense, do you believe
you don't
the
have
CIA?
To be
no,
arrogant.
I don't.
You don't have to be arrogant. That's not necessary.
All right, let's get a lockbox update. And while Megan gets in place, Alan, talk about the importance of this.
Well, there's nothing more important than our staying alive as a radio station. There's nothing more important for all the people who are listening today to understand. Well, you do understand. I don't have to tell you that we can't do it without you. And we need your help. the lockbox is there. We had two major gifts announced if we could do it. One was from Mr. Big, who said $10,000 if we could do it. And a second was for $7,500 from our friends at the First Niagara Bank.
Right.
And they say, if you can do it, we always like, we're bankers, we always like to help people who can help themselves. And so that's incredible. We don't want to risk losing that money. That's the point.
Right.
Are we over 100,000 yet?
We're just shy of 100,000 this morning. We have $98,092 in the locked box.
Oh, how much to go?
We have to get 375. So within the next 20 days, we have to get $276,000 in the locked box to make those two challenges.
That's why my Kishkas hurt.
Yeah. Me too. I think we can do it, though. I really do.
Kishkas? Are they underinflated? No.
No.
Underinflated, I don't know what
Kishkas.
They are.
That's a dirty shot.
I'm sorry. I don't even know what they are, Alan.
Your innards.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. WAMC.org to help out the lockbox. Very important. WAMC.org. Do what you can. Shorten the fun drive. That's the name of the game. To Alan and Rosemary and Mike, thank you very much. Megan, thank you. And we'll be back after this short break.